Salam dear listeners and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. By Bhagwan's grace, today we have with us for this program Mr. Lakshmi Narayan Aital. For those of you who are common listeners to this program, he has been with us earlier and we have benefited from his deep knowledge on the Prasthana Trayas, the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, and the Brahma Sutras. He is someone who has not only studied the Prasthana Trayas on the direct direction of Bhagavan, but also studied the Satisai Speaks alongside and relished the beautiful symphony of Bhagwan's message that has flowed since eternity. So he has enjoyed the beautiful directions of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and then found parallels of that in the Satisai Speaks. He has studied the Upanishads and spent time understanding the significance and the essence of the Upanishads, and at the same time enjoyed the essence of Bhagwan's discourses over all these years of association with Bhagwan, right from the 60s and 70s. He's someone who has been associated with Bhagwan's educational institutions for more than 3 decades, and now he volunteers to spread Bhagwan's message through satsangs to interested spiritual seekers. That is how he spends his time and he enjoys his life doing this. So really grateful to Bhagwan that we have him with us today as we deliberate in this last chapter, the last chapter of Prema Vahini. So we are in the 12th segment of chapter 30 of Prema Vahini. So let us listen to what Bhagwan has written and then we'll seek his guidance to see what we can learn from today's discussion.
మహాత్ములు గాని అధికారులు గాని లోకక్షేమ లోకసేవా నిరతులై ఉండిన జనుల అంతఃకరణములలో కల రాగద్వేష మద ఈర్ష్య అసూయ అహంకారములను దుష్టగుణములచే జనులు దూషితులు కారు. మానవుల యొక్క ధర్మ దయ సత్య ప్రేమ జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞానములను దైవధనమునకు హాని కలుగదు. బాహ్య శత్రువులను మాత్రమే పోలీసులు ప్రభుత్వము నివారింతురే కాని అంతఃశత్రువులను అణచు శక్తి ఈ ఇద్దరికీ లేదు, సాధ్యము కాదు. వీరు వానికి అధిపతులు కారు. మహనీయుల సద్బోధనలచే భగవద్భక్తి జ్ఞానములచే సాధుసాంగత్య సహవాసములచే జనుల అంతరంగ అరిషడ్వర్గములను పారద్రోలవచ్చును. అయితే దొంగలను పట్టు పోలీసులు అధికారులు దుష్టులకు లోబడిన దుర్జనుల వలన లోకమునకు ఎంత హాని కలుగునో బ్రహ్మనిష్ఠులు పెద్దలును సాధువులు లోకోద్ధరణకు పూనుకొనక ఇంద్రియ సుఖములకు పేరు ప్రతిష్టలకు వశులైనచో లోకము మరింత అజ్ఞానము ప్రబలి ధర్మనాశనమగును. ఇప్పటి పరిస్థితి పై 2 విషయములు తెలిపిన రీతిగానే ఉన్నది. అందువల్లనే నేటి బాధలు కూడా దినదినమునకు పెరుగుచున్నవి. ఈ 2 సమాజములందును ఏనాడు సరైన భావములు నెలకొని లోకక్షేమమును దృష్టియందు ఉంచుకుని భగవత్ శక్తిని మననము చేదురో ఆనాడే లోకమంతయు శాంతి సంతోషములతో తులతూగును. అయితే మానవునకు ఈ 2 ప్రభుత్వములే. అంతర్రాజ్యమునకు అధికారులు ఆధ్యాత్మిక పెద్దలు, బహిర్రాజ్యమునకు ప్రభుత్వాధికారులు. ఈ 2 పెద్దలు సక్రమమున నడిచి నడిపించిన 2 రాజ్యములు ఆనందముగా సాగును. ఇప్పుడు ఆనందము లేకుండుటకు కారణం ఈ 2 అధికారులు సరిలేకుండుటే. అట్టి తరుణముననే సర్వాధికారి అయిన సర్వేశుడు సర్వరాజ్యములకు సంతోషమును ప్రసాదింప తలంచియే అజ్ఞాన అన్యాయములను అడవులకు పంపి న్యాయ జ్ఞానములను ఊళ్ళ నింపును. ఆ అర్థమును తెలుపగోరియే, యదా యదా హి ధర్మస్య గ్లానిర్భవతి భారత అభ్యుత్నమ ధర్మస్య తదాత్మానం సృజామ్యహం అన్నాడు. అసలు ఆ భగవానుడు వచ్చుటకు సహితము మహనీయుల ప్రార్థనలే కారణం.
ఇఫ్ ద సో కాల్డ్ గ్రేట్ మెన్ అండ్ దోస్ ఇన్ అథారిటీ ఆర్ దస్ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ ద సర్వీస్ ఆఫ్ హ్యుమానిటీ అండ్ ఇన్ ప్రమోటింగ్ ద వెల్ఫేర్ ఆఫ్ ద వరల్డ్, దెన్ ఈవిల్ టెండెన్సీస్ లైక్ హేట్రిడ్, ప్రైడ్, ఎన్వి, jealousy and conceit will not invade the minds of men and pollute them. The divine positions of man like righteousness, mercy, truth, love, knowledge and wisdom will be safe from harm. The police and the authorities can overcome only external foes. They have no power to destroy the internal enemies. They will find the task impossible. They are not the authorities for that. The internal foes, the six enemies that operate inside man, the Arishad Vargas, can be uprooted only by the teachings of good men, the love and the knowledge of the Lord, and the company of the holy and the great. Just as the world will suffer from great harm when the police and the authorities responsible for apprehending thieves themselves succumb to the wicked, a similar thing happens when the Brahmanishtas and the so-called great sadhus give up the path of the world welfare and succumb to sensual pleasures and name and fame. Then ignorance in the world becomes even more intense and leads to the destruction of righteousness. This is the present-day situation of the world. That is why suffering in the world is on the rise day after day. The whole world will bask in peace and joy only that day when both these groups realize the right attitudes and with the welfare of all at heart ponder over the omnipotence of the Lord. Both these are two governments for man's two states. They are spiritual and physical. Spiritual elders are the rulers of the internal state. Administrative authorities are the rulers of the external state. If both these groups act and direct properly, they will create happiness in these spheres. The blame for the present misery must therefore be shared by both. It is at such times that the Lord resolves to vouchsafe happiness to all and suppress ignorance and injustice and establish justice and wisdom. It is to make this clear that the Lord said in the Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. O Bharata, whenever dharma declines and adharma raises its head, then I myself take birth. Really speaking, even for the advent of the Lord, the prayers of the great act as the invitation.
So that's really a very profound segment, isn't it, sir?
Yeah.
Bhagwan is talking about the inner man and the outer man in every personality. And so beautifully, Swami is actually laying down the root of the current modern day world situation. You have the great men who should guide the mind of all the masses through their life and through their example. And if they fail to do that, then the internal man in every man is confused.
Yes.
And you have the police and other external agencies to control the external behavior of man, the outer man. And if they also lose their moorings, then again the outer man also is completely in disarray. And when both this happens, I think the world is definitely in such a precarious state that the Lord decides.
Today it has reached to that state.
Yes, Lord decides, yes, that I have to come down. But Swami says, yes, that's when the Lord comes down. But at the same time, he says that even for the advent of the Lord, the prayers of the great act as an invitation. The Lord, as I think, as Bhagavan says, Lord is only a witness. You have to pray. If you pray, then He will respond. Because anything that the Lord does, I remember talking once to Mr. Lakshmi Narasimhan sir, who served as the registrar of Bhagavan's university for many years. We were talking about the genesis of the Anandpur College, the Vrindavan College. And he narrated how when the Vrindavan College came, it was because certain devotees who were there in Vrindavan at that point in time, there was a doctor and there was a village headman who prayed to Bhagavan saying that, Swami, there are so many children here in these rural areas, because we are talking about 60s, and that area was outskirts of Bangalore, and we are not able to provide good education. They definitely need to grow up into good citizens of the country, and for that education is very important. Can we set up a school here? It was their prayer, and Swami immediately took it up, and as we have seen with Bhagavan at every instance, they wanted a little school, and Swami made that a, she said, an art, science and commerce college. That was the genesis of the Vrindavan College.
Yes.
But if you look at in the divine master plan, it was all there.
Yes.
Swami's education mission for the transformation of the human heart and to ensure that we have men of character for society. That was always there when you see in the divine scheme of things. But the trigger for that was the prayer of these devotees in Vrindavan. Just like Mother Ishwarama's prayer was a trigger for all the mega missions of Bhagavan. So here Swami says, even for the Lord to do anything, there has to be a prayer.
Yes.
Because otherwise the Lord does not do anything. He is just the witness of everything. Isn't it, sir?
Yes.
Of course, that is what Bhagavan talks about towards the end. But initially, Swami is giving a very beautiful diagnosis of the current situation.
Yes.
And perhaps, sir, you know, you with your study of Bhagavan's literature can throw a little more light on how we can ensure that the internal man does not get polluted.
Here, Bhagavan guides us. For the present situation, that chaos and confusion in the world, the main cause is ignorance.
Correct.
So, all the Arishadvargas, Kama, Krodha, etc., they appear in the mind of man because he has ignorance.
Correct.
So, Swami tells that to eradicate all this internal force, enemies, for that satsang is needed.
Yes.
Satsang of great
people
and noble people.
Yes.
That is needed, and thereby we get the guidance to how to conquer the enemies.
Yes.
Inner enemies.
Yeah, I mean, for one to learn how to
conquer
the inner
enemies.
Weaknesses.
Yes,
the great men, the advice and
they
the guidance.
Guide
of the,
they guide us. They guide us.
Their guidance is very important.
And but we have to conquer.
Yeah.
They don't on behalf of us. They don't conquer.
Yeah, they can only guide.
They are already conquered the inner enemies.
Yes.
But they guide us how to conquer the inner enemies. That
yes.
is. First step is the satsang. And thereby we elicit the method how to control. And in here only Swami expressed that ignorance is the root cause for all the problems
yes.
that has arisen in this present world. Now, we have to see that what is ignorance?
Yes.
Ignorance of what?
Yes.
Here, the ignorance means ignorance about our being only. About ourselves only we have yes. misunderstandings.
Ignorance about the inner man.
Yes.
Yes.
Ignorance about our reality.
About our reality.
That reality, that is, the Lord tells when He incarnate, He tells that your reality is the truth, that supreme reality is God itself is the supreme reality. That is your reality.
Yeah.
God is the reality of every
yes.
being.
Yes.
So that, we have not understood it. That is the ignorance. we have the misunderstanding.
That we are different from God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is misunderstanding and not understanding and doubt. We get so we have studied so many literature of Bhagwan. Bhagwan has written. This Premavahini is the directly Swami has written that.
Yes.
That's why we get more guidance for our upliftment from Premavahini or all the Vahinis.
Yes.
Here Swami clearly mentions that the root cause of all the problems, that is ignorance. Mm. That ignorance should be shattered.
Yes.
Swami tells that. So Swami has told that we are Prema Swarupas. Our reality is that we are all Prema Swarupas. But we don't have the inkling about that Prema Swarupa.
Mm.
We behave as if we are other Swarupas. Kama Swarupa, Krodha Swarupa. We are embodiment of ignorance only.
No, just like, you know, it happens often in normal conversations in these times. Mm. May not necessarily be in the Satya Sai circle or in a satsang session. You know, when someone gets angry and he says, yeah, it is natural, I am human. It is natural for me to get angry. You know, obviously, when something like this happens, the natural reaction is to get angry. It's natural for me to, you know, be a little greedy. Mm. It's natural for me to have this desire. So we think that these are all natural to man. And that is how man is supposed to behave in society. And even I think we as Sai devotees also, even when Bhagwan constantly in every discourse began his session by saying, Divyatma Saruplare, you are divine, you are God, you are God.
We heard several times that.
But it is very difficult to sort of digest that and really believe that, I am divine, I am divine. We feel, okay, Swami has said nice, that's a nice.
That's right. We clapped also.
We clapped
also.
But somehow that does not really sort of get so strongly embedded in your understanding and in real action, actually. Yeah.
That's why the ignorance is not understanding the Prema Swarupa.
Mm.
And we behave as if we are Prema Swarupas and start to love. That worldly love. That's all.
Worldly love.
Swami tells that the Prema is divine.
Yes.
So we have not acquainted with that divine love.
Yes.
So that is misunderstanding. Again, the ignorance has three faces. One is not knowing the reality. Another is misunderstanding the reality. And third one is doubt.
Mm.
We doubt sometimes.
Mm.
So Swami told, we are Prema Swarupa several times. In spite of that, why we have not understood it?
Mm.
So, what is lacking in us? Have you not understood Prema Swarupa clearly? Even if we chant that, I am God, I am God, I am God, do we experience God?
Hmm.
Then what is lacking? What we have to do?
Yes.
Swami has clearly guided us. He tells that ignorance is absence of knowledge. Darkness is absence of light.
Yes.
To remove the darkness, what we have to do? Light should be, say, he has given one example for that.
Mm.
In the cave,
yes.
Darkness is there. For several ages, darkness was there.
Yes.
And one disciple enters that cave to remove the darkness and he performs all sorts of exercises there.
Mm.
Darkness is not removed.
Mm.
And he does Shirshasana and Shavasana. But it remains
yes,
as it is. Then he comes to his guru and tells, so what I have to do to remove the darkness? Light the candle, that's all. As soon he lights the candle means darkness is?
Yes.
Because darkness is the absence of light.
Correct.
And similarly, ignorance is absence of knowledge.
Yes.
For that, to remove that ignorance, knowledge should be got by us.
Yes.
What is knowledge? Knowledge about our reality, that's all.
Yes.
Swami told, so we are Prema Swarupas. We have to inquire within ourselves. how to understand that we are Prema Swarupas. So we always identify with this body, sometimes with the organs,
yes,
in the mind or in the intellect. We identify, and we have not practiced to identify with the real self. See, external body and closely connected, all these organs are connected in the body, and mind is internal.
Yes.
So for misunderstanding, this mind is responsible. So seat of ignorance is mind. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks, how to eradicate kama? That
yes,
kama should be eradicated.
Mm.
Then Krishna tells, practical, he tells, first we have to identify the abodes of kama, where kama resides.
Whereabouts of kama?
Where it resides.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then the Lord tells, so in the organs,
yes,
indriyas, in the mind,
mm-hmm,
and in the intellect also.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the strong holds of kama. Reside in, that's why we cannot use intelligence to remove kama. Because intelligence is also, that is polluted by kama.
Mm-hmm.
So the method of conquering kama, and kama means, kama is the that enemy.
Mm-hmm.
That is,
yes,
among the Arishadvas, kama,
correct,
is the first enemy.
Yes.
So if we are successful in conquering that kama, then the very same method can be applied to eradicate all the enemies.
Krodha, lobha, moha.
Yes, all the enemies can be eradicated.
Mm.
Once we are successful in eradicating, so what is that method? So that we get in Bhagavad Gita only, very clear.
Mm-hmm.
He tells, so we, kama is the feeling only, desire.
Yes.
Kama is the desire that come in the mind. So, what is that? I want this. I want something. That is the desire comes in the mind. So, when it comes, then in the whole mind that desire is filled.
Yes.
And we support by our intelligence that should be acquired. What we need, that should be acquired. And this intellect, it provides the plan to acquire. That's all. That's why intellect also supports to feed kama. And mind is already occupied by kama. So how to eradicate from all the three abodes of kama. That Krishna tells that. So all people are thinking through the mind only. So by thinking you cannot eradicate kama. So people, though they are inside the body, a man who is inside the body, he is not the body. He is inside the body. He is called Dehi. What that Dehi should, he should find out the plan to eradicate. He should plan how to eradicate that. That the right method is, so we have to change our standpoint, not the body, not the organs, not the mind, nor the intellect also. It should be our reality. Our standpoint is self. When you know that you are the self, knowing, that's all. It is not performing anything. When we know that I am the self, self of the universe, that universal self, then this, the mind doesn't exist, intellect doesn't exist. Because these strong holds are negated.
So when you think of yourself as the supreme self. You only think of
yourself. It is not thinking. It is not thinking. Knowing.
Knowing. Yes.
Thinking comes in the mind.
Yes. So we live with that awareness. Live with the awareness that you are the supreme self.
Yes.
Then you are not the mind. You are not the intellect. Then you can succumb the mind.
Already all mind, intellect, everything is eradicated. Then there is no stronghold. Then karma doesn't come at all.
But how do you do this? I mean, you're saying it. You have some intellectual understanding of it.
In Bhagavad Gita, it is that first indriyani paranyahu. Indriyabhyah param manah. Manasastu para buddhihi yo buddhe parasastu saha. Saha means atma. Sense organs are superior to the body. Mind is superior to sense organs. Then when we tell that mind is superior, we come to the level of the mind only. Intellect is superior to the mind.
Yes.
And the most supreme is Atma. So when we know that Atma is supreme, our standpoint should be Atma only. So when we arrive at the status of Atma, all these Anatmas are, they lose their existence also.
You have to become the prime minister. Then you can, no need of any other chota, ministers. You can't control the big changes that you want in your life cannot happen unless you reach that.
In Bhagavad Gita, it is told like that. But Swami's method is something different. He tells prema. Prema means prema. So, have this prema, that divine love. See, love need not be created. It is natural. Everyone loves himself.
Correct.
Himself means he loves his self.
Yes.
That is natural. That's why if we have this love, that love is equal to Atmajnana. Because love is God. Swami told, love is God.
Yes.
So, know that love.
Yes.
Don't feel the love. The feeling love is worldly love. It is knowing love.
Being the love.
Knowing the love.
Knowing the love.
So, that knowledge, so knowing is very, very important. Knowledge is very important. In all the Upanishads tell that, Yatova imani bhuta nijayante e najata nijivanti yat prayanti abhisamvishanti tat vijijnyasasva know that from which all these have come and all these are residing in him only and they dissolve in him. Know him. Vijijnyasasva, know him. That is only the method for the salvation. Jnana Devata Kaivalyam. Swami has repeated this word, Jnana Devata Kaivalyam, many times. He tells that this jnana, jnana of the reality, that only know the self, know the universal self, you are liberated. That's all.
Beautiful, sir.
Liberation means liberation from what? Liberation from ignorance, that's all.
From ignorance.
We are liberated from the ignorance. Then that jnana leads to the reality. That is moksha.
In fact, as you are telling this last week also, I had quoted this. In the third shloka of Atma Bodha, Shankaracharya's Atma Bodha, he says, action cannot destroy ignorance. Because it is not in conflict with it. Only knowledge can destroy ignorance.
Yes.
So he says, just as light destroys darkness, only knowledge destroys ignorance.
Right.
So in this passage, as we look at it, we are talking about this because of the understanding that we are looking at an inner person and an outer person. But the other way of looking at it, the way Swami has spoken, is that there are two institutions in society that affect us. And so one, he says, is the institution of great men and holy men and good men. Another is the administrative authority.
Yeah.
So if you look at society, Swami always says society is the form of God. The Purusha, this thing, Sahasra Shirsha, Purusha, Sahasra Akshaswa. So he said, that is society. Society is the form of God. And if that society has to function properly, and if it has to work properly, two institutions have to be perfectly in sync. And that is exactly what Swami is saying here, that people, great men and holy men, they should work for selflessly for the redemption of the society and redemption of humanity and for Loka Kalyanam. If they become slaves to their own sensual pleasures and gratification and they become selfish, then the whole thing goes topsy-turvy. In this context, there's a very interesting angle to look at this. Like, for example, today we have legal punishments in society. So suppose somebody does a mistake, you're punished. Okay, you're a thief, you've stolen something, you're punished.
As per the law.
As per the law. So there is a legal code of conduct and you're told to do this, do that. Now, all these code of conduct, they came from a certain standpoint of morality. So when somebody is codifying that this is the moral code of conduct, what sir just explained to us is the highest level of spiritual understanding.
Yes.
So to if people are able to live in that consciousness, then automatically their worldly life will be perfectly moral. Their worldly life, because their only focus is Atmajnanam. So once they are passionate and they live in that consciousness, then there is no question, because their every act will be moral. It will be absolutely in sync with God's plan, with nature. With
Atmadharma.
It is based on Atmadharma. But since everybody is not in that level, and since the mind plays havoc,
yes,
there has been this, the society needs a certain institutionalization of punishments, of legal procedures. All these things have come into play. And the point I was very fascinated about is, we all have heard about Manusmriti. Manusmriti is where he has given all the code of conduct, and he has given, and he mentioned something very interesting. He says that if people are not following this code of conduct, the punishment should be awarded based on the level of knowledge of the person who's committed the crime. So he says, because of the Varnashramam at that time, they had this Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. He says, if a person has made a mistake, the penalty can be 16 times if he is a Vaishya. The penalty has to be 32 times if he is a Kshatriya, 64 times if he is a Brahmin. And depending on the type of crime that has been committed, the Brahmin can be punished up to 100 or 128 times compared to that of what is awarded to a Shudra. So because he says, a person without knowledge, without worldly education, let us put it that way, without worldly education and awareness, if he has committed a mistake, he's okay, he's punished for that. But having known that, having known and having been educated, if you are doing that mistake, then the level of punishment is much higher. And in the commentary which it was written, it is said, if you translate that to today's day and age, what Manusmriti has said, if you translate it to today's day and age, it means that every government employee should be punished 1,000 times more than an ordinary man.
Because they know what it is.
They know. They are part of the system.
They are the part of the system who should actually set an example.
Yeah, no, they should and run the system.
Run the system.
They
yes.
should run the system and make sure the system works properly.
Yes.
And if you translate that Manusmriti to today's world,
yes.
1,000 times more than every government. I mean, I think
absolutely.
We won't have place in any of the jails in India. If,
we are talking,
I think that is exactly.
To eradicate the defects that we find in the society.
Right.
But I feel that, strongly feel that, we individually have to work for that.
Absolutely.
Because we are having, so if we observe our nature and our mind, we find so many defects.
Yes.
And what punishment we give for ourselves if we find that defect within us?
Yes.
So we are very mild to our. We don't give punishment
to ourselves.
When
yes.
we see defect in the our external world,
yes.
we are very serious. 150 times they should be punished. We call that.
Yes.
But if we do if I do the same mistake,
yes.
what punishment I should give?
Correct.
See, my aim is individually we should think like this. I should be defectless.
Correct.
We have to find out our defects first. So, but we are very much expert in finding the defect of others.
Others. Swami is pointing the finger.
Yes.
Three fingers point back to you.
That's why Swami's guidance is that find your defect.
Yes.
And start to eradicate it.
Correct.
When you are become free from the defects, then you can consider that the whole world is free from the defect. Because when we see the defect in the external world, that is the reflection of what we are having.
True.
If we find any defect,
yes, yes.
if we point out this is your defect, means that is our defect only.
Swami also has mentioned that if you are able to recognize that that is a defect, means you know about the defect, which means that the defect is there in you also.
Yes.
In a way that, you know,
yes.
you are in some ways able to relate to that.
Yeah. Then we should be very serious.
Yes.
When you are very serious to remove our defects, then we have to find out within ourselves how to eradicate them. This Kama Krodha,
yes.
individually it haunts us.
Yes.
This Kama Krodha, all the internal enemies, they harm us a lot.
Yes.
And we are not aware of that. What is, we don't know how to remove our Kama Krodha.
Sir, as you mentioned, that in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that one way to eradicate Kama Krodha Lobha and to you know, start with Kama is that know that you are the Atma.
Yes.
That is the way Bhagavan gave in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
And the same Lord, now in Satyasaya Avatar, you said,
he told Prema.
Told the path of Prema.
Prema.
So, but how do we really practice this in real life? How do we really make this work in our daily life, in our daily situations? Can we really overcome the power, the immense power of Kama through Prema, how do we do it?
In our thinking, Prema. In our talks, Prema. In our action, Prema. Swami gives so many illustrations.
But I think here the first thing is you should understand what is Prema. As you said, the Prema is not the love.
That's the worldly, that is not worldly.
Generally people
but we
associate
have understood it. Only the worldly love. The love between husband and wife. Or father and the son. It takes different forms.
Yes.
But here Prema is knowing about, knowing yourself, that is the Prema. Swami's Prema is
to
like
know that. Yourself, that
knowing
is Prema.
Knowing yourself is the Prema.
Oh, wow. So can you explain that? What do you really mean by that? Know yourself is Prema.
That's right. See, all the Shastras tell that, know thyself. They guide us. This is the method. We have to know ourselves. Here, two aspects. One is internal. The two governments are there. Internal
yes.
and the external. We have to, now when we start knowing Prema, we have to keep aside the external world. We have to enter internal world. That is antarmukha.
Yes.
So our mind is towards the external world only now, at yes. present. That's why Swami...
So this process of know thyself, as you're saying, it can yes. begin only once you begin to turn inward.
Yes.
That's when only, the process will start.
That's only the process. Because Swami tells, I am your Hridaya Vasi.
Yes.
Swami told.
Yes.
Hridaya is internal only.
Yes.
That's why to see that Swami who is yes. in the Hridaya, we have to see inward only.
Yes. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, you have the four Purusharthas mentioned of every man, Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha.
Okay, and, that's all. Okay.
And we have heard any number of Bhagavan's discourses also explaining the connection. We have talked about it before, how Artha should be based on Dharma and Kama should be only for Moksha. But there is also a discourse where Bhagavan said that there is a fifth Purushartha. These are the fourth Purusharthas, but there is the fifth one. And Swami said that fifth Purushartha is Parama Prema.
Yes.
That is the fifth Purushartha. So, Lord Krishna, who gave the four Purusharthas, now in the Satyasaya incarnation felt that I should top it off with Parama Prema, because this is perhaps the easiest way for people of the times to...
In Narada Bhakti Sutra, that aphorism, the second yes. aphorism, it talks about bhakti. What is bhakti? He defines bhakti. Sa means in bhakti is the Srilinga word in Sanskrit. Sa tu parama prema rupa. That supreme love towards God, that is the love, the devotion.
That is bhakti.
Bhakti.
That is bhakti.
Supreme love towards
supreme
God.
Supreme love towards God.
Towards God, yes.
Asmin, tasmin, it's in God. The love directed towards God, God is universal.
Yes.
He is not nama rupa atita. Name and form, they destroy only. They are destroyed.
Yes.
God is always existing. So, that love should be towards God.
Towards God, yes.
And where God resides? In the heart. That's why that love should be towards inside. So, the love cannot be directed externally, anywhere.
Yes.
So, in the external world, we see many, many individuals. Some we like and some we dislike. Some are enemies, some are friends. So, this is not possible to practice the supreme love. In the external world. That's why direct the mind towards inside and you see God there.
Yes. In fact, I think you are someone who was associated with Bhagwan's education mission, and you are also someone who have had the opportunity to be there when Bhagwan made visits to Swami's school so many occasions. So, from your memories and from all those beautiful moments of spending time with Bhagwan.
Yeah.
If you can share some moments of how we can learn from Bhagwan's life about how to practice this love. But I think Swami, when he came down with this purpose only. Yeah, Swami says the Lord comes down when the world is in dire straits and comes as a response to prayer to show us, isn't it, how to practice this love.
So, that's why we have to get into the practical field.
Yes.
So, I was in the teaching field only.
Yes.
Then, I used to punish boys with anger in my face. But, I am the devotee of Bhagavan Baba. Swami tells love. We are not practicing.
You felt like that.
I started in my mind. Then, I completely gave up that corporal punishment to the boys. And started to love them. That's all.
Wow.
So whenever I go to the class, the first word, Students, I love you. That's all. First, students, I love you.
You start with that.
Yeah. And reciprocal, they also, sir, we also love you. That's all.
Wow.
So, that love has become the medium now.
Mm.
And I start teaching.
Wow.
So, I used to tell that. So, I don't tell that we have Kannada medium or English medium.
Mm.
I have the medium of love.
Mm.
So, I started that.
Hmm.
Then many elders in that institution, they started, hey, you are not punishing the students. What is the, if they, even if they do mistake, you don't punish them.
Hmm.
They started to ridicule me.
Hmm.
Then I told, in spite of all the students knew that, I am not punishing them.
Hmm.
In spite of that, if somebody tells that, or for a particular student, principal is calling,
hmm.
He's shivering and coming. Wait, I'm not finishing.
Hmm.
That's they knew that I love them.
Hmm.
And I knew they knew that they should be defectless.
Hmm.
Then.
So you don't want to displease the one whom you love.
That's okay. That's not like that. I want to. They should know that I am loving them.
Hmm. Yes.
I am not hating them.
Yes.
Love means, what is that? Love all means what? Hate none. That's...
Yes.
We should not hate.
Yes.
That's why I... So many that thinking process that entered in my mind and something, all the wicked practices what I had earlier, I stopped all them. All of the practices were stopped. And
you are able to achieve the same results of correcting
supreme,
the voice?
That's an excellent result. Excellent
result.
Not better.
Excellent
result I got.
Mm.
And in the SSLC exam, we call SSLC there, 10th exam.
Yes.
In the SSLC exam, I started some improvement.
Mm.
So, all the students should achieve, so their achievement should be excellent only.
Yes.
That's why I introduced one method.
Mm-hmm.
Conducting the final exam six times.
Six times?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I provide the paper, question paper.
Okay.
For them.
Okay.
So, the final paper only, six times I give.
Mm-hmm.
And the different years question papers,
okay,
they have to write answer.
Okay.
So, I told it is not compulsory.
Okay.
Those who are desirous to show their excellency in the exam,
okay,
they can practice, participate.
Oh, okay.
And for that, answer sheets, that should be brought, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For that, we spend money for that.
Yes.
For that, you have to pay. That's all.
Okay.
Those who pay, they can participate in the type of examination.
Mm.
And every Saturday, I conducted the exam.
Uh-huh.
After the finishing of the portions.
Portions,
I practiced this. This is because love is ruling me.
Mm.
But that's why I should not punish the boys, isn't it?
Yes.
They showed their excellencies.
Yes.
And all the boys, in that year, had 100% result.
Wow. And they wrote, voluntarily they wrote.
And 85% were that...
distinction.
Distinction.
Wow. Wow.
No fail. Only second, no third class also.
Hmm.
Second class was there.
I think this is something very beautiful in a sense that, you know, students, they themselves volunteer to write the examinations on their own.
Yes.
Even though it was not compulsory.
Not compulsory.
This is the power of love,
studied,
in a way.
They studied.
They studied.
See, every Saturday the exam.
Hmm.
So, one subject.
Yes.
So, they concentrate on the particular subject and write the exam.
Hmm.
And valuation, for the valuation, for the supervision, I called the PUC boys for the supervision.
Oh, okay.
Because staff members were not cooperating.
Hmm.
So, extra burden. We don't like to have extra burden. Then, for valuation, I told self-valuation. The student who has written the answer, he should correct.
Beautiful, sir. Beautiful. Amazing.
So
then he knows his mistake. and he can eradicate it.
So that here.
As so the love worked.
Love
worked.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's why.
Wow.
So Swami guided me. Then I was successful.
I think this is so beautiful. You know, if every person who has become a devotee of Bhagwan, if they can start in their own life this journal.
Yes.
My experiments with love.
Practice. Oh, yes. My experiment with love.
Yes.
With the divine love.
With divine love.
Divine
Correct.
Love.
My experiment with divine love. And I think that will be a very beautiful.
Yes. Individually, Swami's guidance is like that only. He gives the instruction to the mass.
Yes.
But individually, everyone has to receive it.
Yes.
And to practice it.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, Brother Sai Prakash, you were saying something.
No, I'm saying that Swami was saying the two states. One is the sages and saints who are supposed to...
They rule the internal
government. Thing and the administrative who rule the outer world.
Yes.
In your case, both are combined.
Yeah.
Okay.
As an administrator...
Administrating only.
Yes.
But practically, yeah.
Exactly. Spiritual elders are the rulers of the internal state.
Yes.
Administrative authorities are the rulers of the external state. If both these groups act and direct properly, both states will function to create happiness.
Mm.
So Swami says, the fault of causing the present misery must therefore be shared by both.
Mm.
So today, if something is not all right, both these institution that rules the heart, the internal world and the external world, both have to be set right. So in fact, this is something which Swami says, to set right both these institutions, the avatar comes. Yada yada hi dharmasya.
Yes.
The avatar comes to set right both these institutions, like people who stand for religion or spirituality or matters of the heart, for example. If there is lack of diligence, if there is a lack of
purity
in their approach, that is one institution. And governments and the institutions who govern the external world.
Correct.
So Swami says both these should be balanced and both of them should be aligned to the...
Swami is the master of the spiritual world, inner world.
Yes.
That's why let us take his guidance to correct the inner world.
Absolutely.
Then when inner world is corrected,
external
world is naturally...
It will be.
...is corrected. That's all.
Absolutely.
We need not bother about changing the society.
Correct.
We have to change our inner...
Absolutely. Wonderful, sir. I think the instances that you shared are so beautiful. You start the class by saying, I love you.
Yes.
And then you ensure that through love, you bring out the best in people around you. And I think this is something that all of us can experiment with.
Yes.
But one allied question here, because I remember talking to a teacher of the Sri Satyasai Higher Secondary School, Prashant Nilayam.
Mm.
So he is someone who, after finishing his studies, got this opportunity to become a teacher. And in the first year, he did the same. He loved the students so much. And the students also loved him. And the students excelled also in their examinations. But when it came to the time the students had to leave for their homes, that is when sir suddenly started experiencing a lot of emptiness, because he felt that so much he has loved and lived with these students, and suddenly he started feeling so empty. And so that was quite a sort of very different experience, not a comfortable experience at all. So perhaps, he got attached. I don't know if that is the way to put it. And slowly, over time, he has learned to get over that. But I'm just thinking, is that something also to consider? We are not talking about the worldly love. Even if you are doing something like this, you love someone with not any selfish motive, but there is also this risk of even getting attached. Isn't it? That is also a danger
in loving the students.
Mm. So how do you deal with that?
That's why when I started loving students, it was a sort of attachment only.
Yes.
I found out this is not, because loving means loving the God who resides in the heart of the student.
Not loving Rakesh, loving the Swami who is in Rakesh.
Yes.
And in the heart of Harish or Rakesh or Manish.
That's why.
Yes.
Then this attachment is lost.
Then you love Swami more. That's all.
That's why.
Yes.
So, Swami is residing in the heart of every student. Love Swami. That's all.
Beautiful.
And love all means... Love all means, all in Sanskrit is sarva. All means sarva. Name of God is sarva. That's all.
Oh, okay. Name of God is sarva.
So he's called Sarvesha.
Yeah, wow.
So he is the Lord of everything. So love him. That's all.
Wow. Amazing.
Beautiful.
That's so beautiful. Amazing. In fact, sir, I was just reading Sanskrit. As a language is so rich that even for a simple word like elephant, for an animal like elephant, there are 4,000 synonyms, 4,000 words to just describe or find another word for elephant. And imagine for the divine, there would be like any number of ways that the language would have offered. I mean, it's such a rich language. And you know, very, I just remember this, when you said sarva also means God, I think in Sanskrit, if you see everything that you see around could be another name of God if you go deeper into Sanskrit language. So, I mean, truly love all, sarva all means to basically
love God. Serve God.
That's all it is.
Beautiful, sir. Very
amazing. Good. Amazing. Then you will, now of course, then help our heart never automatically.
That naturally follows that.
That naturally follows.
Yes.
Wow. Beautiful. Amazing, sir. I think this is really a very beautiful take-home lesson for all of us. And if we can do that, and if we can ensure that at least all of us who say that we are devotees of Bhagwan, or who say that we are followers of Bhagwan, or we say we love Swami.
Should practice love. Yeah.
Yes. Should somehow
divine love.
Live up to what Bhagwan calls us as Divyatma Saruplara, Prima Saruplara. He always tells that is what we are. Should try and live up to what he wants us to be. And I think as you very beautifully give these little examples, all of us can do that in our own ways, little ways of seeing how we can love the God in the other person.
Yes.
Beautiful, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir, for this lovely session. Really, Swami's blessing that we could have you for this session of Prema Vaini. Today it is all about Prema. It started with Jnana, but it came down to Prema, and that is what Bhagavad Gita is all about. That's what
Prema and Jnana are synonyms.
Synonyms. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Wonderful. So, dear listeners, we'll continue this session. Really grateful to Bhagwan for this beautiful opportunity of dwelling on Prema Vaini and for sending Lakshminarayan Ethel sir for this session. We'll continue this session in the coming weeks. We are in the last chapter of Prema Vaini. Let's see what are the other beautiful pearls that Swami wants us to dwell on and internalize in our lives as we come to the last few episodes of this Prema Vaini Satsang. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org, or you can also share your feedback with us through WhatsApp. Our number is 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for offering this program at Bhagwan's lotus feet. We bring this session to a close. Sai Ram.